I'd ask you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3, and we're studying Genesis 3, and we're looking at the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of sin. And we're walking through the entire chapter, and we have looked at what man did, and the last 2 weeks, we've looked at what Satan did and really what Satan does. And then we're going to look at that again today and next week. We looked at his character, number one, and we saw that the Bible tells us the character of Satan is that of deception and darkness. He comes as a messenger of light, but he is really darkness. And he comes as deceived and the deceiver. When we think of him, we should not think first of his power, of his miracles, but of the deception that he brings. That is his character. Then secondly, we looked at his craftiness, and we saw that the serpent that he used in the garden, it says that he is more wise. And we saw that Satan was more wise. And Adam and Eve were no match for Satan, and I want to tell you, neither are we, because he is more wise. This morning I want to look at two things. Number one, his cause, and number two, his crusade. I want you to look in verse 5 of this chapter, and we have looked at that in some detail, but I just want to kind of refer to it for today. He said to Eve, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He said, God is hiding something from you. And God knows when you eat of that tree, when you do this particular thing that he has forbade you, you'll no longer be his servant, but you'll be just like him. So the idea is God is hiding something from you. And really the greatest life is by doing the very opposite of what he told you. And he also, remember, he said, "You shall not die." So he called God a liar, but he also was saying, this is a private choice. And there is no private consequence to your sin or public consequence. And we saw that in fact, he deceived them and there was a consequence. And a matter of fact, there is no such thing as a sin that does not have both private and public consequence. There's no such thing as a private sin that does not have a public consequence. So he deceived. Well, what is his cause? Well, the cause of Satan is described as coming to steal, kill, and destroy, to deceive, to damn people to hell. But I want to tell you that that is the apparent cause, but it is not the ultimate driving cause of Satan. The driving cause of Satan we saw in Isaiah chapter 14, where when he sinned, there are five I wills, and basically in verse 14 sums it up where he says, "I will ascend under the Most High God. I will make myself to be God," meaning that he would dethrone God. So his sin was that he wanted to be God. And that is still his goal. That is his cause. So everything else that's going on is really to facilitate in him accomplishing his goal of being God. Remember, we pointed out that that was his desire to be God. What did he tempt Adam and Eve with? The same thing. You're going to be God. And he tempts us today, and I'm going to show you that over the next 2 weeks, through the same thing. Through deception, never brings you to that point, but that's the promise that's made. Now, Satan is a defeated foe. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says that when Christ was hanged on the cross, he spoiled principalities and powers. Satan is a defeated foe. Many people would tell you that Satan is defeated. He knows he can never dethrone God. So now all he's worried about is taking as many people as he can to hell with him. Now I believe that he's defeated. And I believe that he one day will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. He is defeated, but I do not believe that he believes it. There is no indication, either in the Word of God, in history, or in our own experience, that tells us that his ultimate cause of dethroning God has been changed to a mere scorched earth policy. There's nowhere. You say, well, doesn't he know that Christ hanged on the cross? And doesn't he know all of these things? Yes. But you know why we think he thinks he's defeated? Is because we forget the deceptive power of sin. You must remember, he is not only the deceiver, but he is deceived. And sin deceives people. It's like somebody stands before you and you share the gospel, you share the truth, you share all the information. It is irrefutable, and they still do what? They walk off and they end up going to hell. Why? Because sin and Satan have blinded their eyes. They are deceived. And so we forget that Satan is deceived. I believe that he believes, and there is no indication to the contrary, that he one day will still dethrone God. Listen, he's not played his ace in the hole, so to speak. You know who that is? The Antichrist. He says, I have one that the whole world, the scripture says, will follow after him who received the mark of the beast. So he still has that. The nature of sin is deception. And the nature of sinners, of which Satan is the leader, is to walk in deception. And you come to Christ and you're saved and you are delivered out of that deception. So the means to dethrone God is to capture his creation and to show that he is more powerful and able than God. But he does it through deception. Well, the second thing I want to talk about, and I want to spend the lion's share of our time, is on his crusade or his campaign. What is his crusade? What is he doing? Well, he is deceiving, beloved. And again, if you think of him and you think of his power, his miracles, to that degree, he is deceiving the church. Because the Bible is clear, he is the deceiver. When Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden and Satan came to them, he did not demonstrate one miracle, one ounce of power. But you know what he did? He promised that God would lie, and he promised that they would be God. He deceived them. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 said that the devil was thrown into the fire who deceives the world. He is a deceiver. And that is his campaign. That is the crusade that he is on to deceive us and to do things to cause us to walk in deception. Jesus said, he is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. And everything he does is to get the world to walk in deception. But I want to tell you, and I'll talk more about it next week, he has the church in much deception. I was listening, coming back from the youth retreat on Friday night, and there was a lady on the radio who had been led to Christ, and the person that had led her walked her through this long list of denouncing the power of astrology in her life. And then she'd say, I denounce the power of astrology in my life. Then she'd say, denounce tarot cards. And then she'd say, I denounce tarot cards in my life. Then denounce the zodiac astrology, and she denounced the power of that. And so she kept walking her through, saying that she was trying to give her freedom. And there are whole books written on this, where when you come to Christ, you go through this thing of renouncing past powers and sins in your life so that you can be liberated. Beloved, that is nothing but absolute bondage. Freedom comes when you come to the Son, and if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. It is over. And I want to tell you, secondly, if she was going to do what she was doing, she shouldn't have been saying renounce the power of astrology and the power of witchcraft. She should have said renounce the deception, because there is no power in it, period. It is all deception. There's no power in astrology. There's no power in crystal balls. There's no power in tarot cards. There's no power in psychic surgery and all of these things. It is absolutely deception and fraud. So the church has bought into it. Satan has inundated us with a myriad of workers of deception. The British scholar Os Guinness tells of a time when Khrushchev was reigning in Russia, and they had a problem with petty theft in all of the factories. So they had to station guards at all of the exits, and when you got off work that day, you walked by a guard and they checked to see if you were carrying anything out. And one particular man in Leningrad, every time he left the factory, he had a wheelbarrow, and in that wheelbarrow was a tow sack full of wood pieces and sawdust. And so every time he'd get to the guard would go through the stuff and look in there, trying to find what was in there. And after a week, the guard could not stand it anymore. And finally, he said, "Comrade, tell me what you are trying to smuggle out of this factory." Every day, the man had rolled that tow sack out in a brand new wheelbarrow. The most obvious thing fooled this guard that was supposed to be protecting all of the things in the factory. 3 John verse 4, the Apostle John, writing to people that he was like the pastor of, he said this. He said, "I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in truth." And I want to tell you, from a pastor's heart, there's no greater joy than to hear the people that you shepherd and you teach and you love are walking in truth. Conversely, there is no greater hurt than to hear of those who should know the truth and are taught the truth and don't walk in the truth. I want to try to spend some time exposing things that Satan is using to deceive us. And there are so many, we could go in a lot of different directions, but I want to go in some that have become popular and becoming more and more mainstreamed every day in our society. There are men like Andre Cole and Jerry McGregor and James Randi, and they are what we would call illusionists or magicians in the good sense of the word, and they are seeking to expose all of the frauds who are claiming paranormal ability, the psychic surgeons, the psychics, the astrologers, the whole menagerie of them. And these men are what we'd call illusionists, or we used to call good magicians, meaning that they do sleight of hand and all of this stuff, and they create an illusion, but they tell you they don't have any supernatural power. They do this by practice and learning their trade and so forth. The bad magician is the one like the psychic and so forth, but he wants you to believe that he has some paranormal or supernatural power or superhuman power that is allowing him to do this, to foretell the future, to move this object, bend that spoon, the seance, the whole thing. These men, two of them are Christians, trying to expose the frauds. James Randi, who has gone all over the place looking for one demonstration, one, where there is true psychic ability, where there is paranormal ability, only one time in a controlled environment, and he has a check for $10,000 that he will hand. He has carried that check for years, and to this day, it has never been taken. $10,000. Andre Cole has traveled to 76 different countries, and he has gone before thousands of shamans, witch doctors, psychic surgeons, astrologers, all the whole host of them, with a $25,000 check, saying, "If you can demonstrate one paranormal, supernatural, true psychic ability that is not a trick, I will give you this $25,000 check. To this day, he carries that check in his pocket. Nobody has taken it. You have to ask yourself, if you were a true psychic, if you could read the crystal ball, if you could read the tarot cards, if you could read the palm, if you could do something, I know where you can make $35,000 in one day. That's a pretty good income. It's not bad. Does it make us wonder why no one has claimed the $35,000? Does it make us wonder? We're thinking, well, wait a minute, I've seen him on TV, boy. You've also seen Mighty Mouse fly. I mean, technology has not made it harder to deceive us, it has made it easier to deceive us. The only people that can really catch these people, and I'll show you that next week, nobody can catch them except somebody who knows the trade. You and I can sit, and one of them could stand right here, and we could all be lined up right there, and we would never detect what they're doing. But the person who understands it can detect it just like that. So these guys who are illusionists, world-renowned illusionists, they go and they say do it, and they do it, and they catch their trick, and they expose them, and they are being exposed day after day, day after day. You know what I've always wondered is, if you can predict the future, why would you mess around telling me Ronnie Rogers is going to have a bump on his knee tomorrow because he bumped into a wall? Why would you not predict the next lottery ticket and go get that baby for a dollar? Why would they not be at all of the gambling places making millions? You see, they can't do it. Theirs is always in a setting where they can deceive. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about astrology. It has become so prominent in our culture and is so accepted. And what was at one time seen as a part of the occult, it is now mainstreamed. Researcher Lawrence Jerome, he estimated there are more than 1 billion people in the world who, to some degree, follow and believe in astrology. There are over 175,000 people who earn their living. There are 500 newspapers every day in America that carry an astrological chart. Gallup poll said there's 32 million people in America who follow it, who believe it to some degree. 10%, according to another Gallup poll, of evangelical Christians believe that the stars and the moon and all of that have control over our fate. In 1988, CNN report claimed that at least 300 Fortune 500 companies use astrologers. The book, The Case for Astrology, the authors argue, and I quote, "Astrology now enjoys a popularity that is unmatched since the decline of Rome," end quote. Nancy Reagan was finally admitted that she, after the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, she consulted an astrologer. She later admitted that she consults astrology on, quote, "every major move and decision," end quote. Astrology is the practice of divination. Divination is predicting the future by anything you want to use. So it is the practice of divination by the influence of the stars and the constellations upon human existence. The Chinese practiced it back 2,000 years before Christ. The Babylonians, 1800 B.C. before Christ. It was brought into the Greek culture by a Chaldean priest known as Berossus. There it became more like astronomy. When it moved into Roman culture, they made it an integral part of their political system. They began to name all of the different planets after their gods. Copernicus and Galileo came along and showed that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe. And at that time, astrology almost died out. As you can well tell, it had no more even supposed validity. But it has been revived, particularly in America. Robert Smith wrote a book, The Manual of Astrology, in 1825. Aleister Crowley wrote on astrology in the early part of this century. And then there was a spiritual craze that swept across America in the 1920s, and spiritualism became at an all-time high. Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, He mainstreamed it when he said, "I am now using astrology in my counseling sessions." Astrologers believe that stargazing is a science. They believe that it's not just a religion, but it's a science like astronomy. And by the way, astronomy is the study of the stars and the galaxies and all of that without the influence upon the people. And astrology is the religious aspect of looking at how it controls destinies and so forth. They use a chart which is supposed to tell you the exact position of the heavenly bodies when you were born, and it's kind of like a map of the heavens. There are 12 sections. These are known as houses. We know them by the signs of the zodiac, the 12 signs like Leo, Pisces, Taurus, and so forth. Well, those each represent what they call a house. Also, the way the planets line up every day, that day is supposed to influence your life for that day. You say, what's wrong with astrology? Well, let me give you several things. Number one, it is based upon the mistaken idea that the Earth is the center of the universe rather than the sun. Number two, the Earth's axis has shifted so that the constellations are no longer in the same relationship with the Earth. Number three, think about this. The idea, beloved, that 1/12 of the world have inherited all of the same characteristics is patently preposterous. It is absolutely ludicrous and can be proven to be false so easy, and has over and over and over and over again. Let me give you another reason. It's not applicable. Meaning that when you wake up, and you better not, but if you were to wake up in the morning and look at your horoscope, and it said, and you were a Leo, and it said, it is a great day to start a diet. Well, number one, in America, always tomorrow is the best day to start the diet. And we know that. But let's just assume that it said today for the Leo, and you're a Leo. Now, I got to start it. I mean, my horoscope said everything's lined up for a great day for a diet. Well, that may fit where Americans eat 80 grams of fat a day. But it has to apply to the person in New Guinea and Haiti and Benin, Africa, that are Leos also. Is it a great day for them to start a diet? You see, we live in this self-centered world where we don't recognize that they're saying for all Leos, it is a great day to start a diet. The next thing I would say to you is, every time a plane crashes or a ship goes under, or there's some catastrophe where there are hundreds of people that died, do you know what they found? That there's every sign of the zodiac, every house represented in the catastrophe that died, and even those that woke up and it said, you're going to have a great day. And a bridge fell on them. Boy, that's good. That's a bless your life. You see, not everybody that went down in the plane crash had a horoscope that said, stay low today. This is not to mention the three most common things that are brought up. Number one, the power of suggestion. You're going to have a good day. Oh boy, I'm going to have a great day. You're going to have a bad day. Well, it's going to be a bad day. It's just you fall under it in the very minute you read it. And don't say that you don't believe it, because if you don't believe it, you wouldn't read it. To some degree, people who read it are believing it. Secondly, the ability to forget what didn't work. We have this enormous ability to forget what didn't work and forget what worked. It's like a gambler. You ever get around him and you'd think, he ought to be rich. Did you hear how many times he won last year? He must be worth millions. No, he absolutely owes everybody in town because he forgets about all of the losses. And the third thing is the generality of the recommendations they make. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. They fit a whole group of people because they're so general. The seventh thing that I would say that is against astrology being anything but deception, zero power, is that every scientific study, without exception, every one of them has proven that it is nothing but, and I quote, make-believe. Make-believe. French researchers, Michel and Franco, and I'll spell the last one, I think it's Gauguin, G-O-G-A-L-I-N. Of course, in Arkansas, we don't learn a lot of French, and so you can say it any way you want. They conducted statistical experiments in order to research the astrological claim that the zodiac influences your life. They examined 52,188 personality traits taken from 2,000 subjects. When they got through with their study, they concluded, and I quote, "There is no correlation between character traits of the subject and the signs under which they were born," end quote. A follow-up 12-year study on French sports champions. What they were looking for is, if you were born a certain day, would you become more of a kind of a warrior and be a better football player? So they were trying to do this to make their teams better and so forth. And they concluded, after 12 years of study, there was no evidence at all to support any astrological claim to sporting achievement, end quote. John McKirby studied 16,634 scientists, 6,475 politicians, and when he got through, he came to this conclusion, quote, "There was no correlation between the individual's career success and his or her sign. None." A landmark study that involved 2,978 couples. And you know, they say this sign is compatible with this sign, so you ought to marry this sign, and if you don't, well, you're going to have trouble and all this. They studied these almost 3,000 couples, and they found there was zero correlation between their signs, whether their marriages were successful or ended in divorce. The physicist Sean Carlson deducted a double-blind study of astrology for Nature magazine, and what he did is he took 116 subjects, and he had three personality profiles for each subject. One of them was real, and two were false. And he brought in the astrologers, and he said, "I want you to pick the personality profile that goes with the individual," and he gave them their birth date. When they got through, these world-renowned astrologers, you know how many they got correct? One-third. One-third. Meaning that they got one out of every three right. And this is what he said, based upon mathematical probabilities, and I quote, "It is exactly what you would have scored if you would have made your choices by chance," end quote. Meaning that if we had done the same thing here today, and you and I would have picked flowers or thrown bananas up in the air to guess what it was, we'd have got exactly the same thing. We just wouldn't be making money off it. But we'd have gotten the same score. There have been 36 scientific studies, and not one of them has demonstrated any causal or correlation between the astrology and human life. Sir John Maddox, the editor of Nature magazine, said, "It turned out that the people couldn't even recognize their own charts. The astrologers couldn't even figure out which chart fit them any better than you and I can." He says, and I quote, "My regret is that there are so many intelligent, able people wasting their time and might and taking other people's money in a hopeless cause," end quote. My regret is that we remember the one-third they got right, and that's on television. We forget the two-thirds they got wrong. We forget under God's economy, He would have shown them to be false, and they wouldn't get one-third right and two-thirds wrong. They would get one wrong and be dead. Career over. Because God said, "This is how you're going to know mine from everybody else who doesn't have power but just deception, is I am going to raise mine up and they will be right 100% of the time. And if they're ever wrong, it is because they don't have power but they have deception." And we're listening to them. At least 10% of the evangelical church and much of the world, and they're wrong two-thirds of the time. Did you ever think about twins? Twins that are born at the same day, the same time, under the same everything, they should have exactly the same fate, but the reality is, historically, they don't. Some get very close and there are all kind of similarities, but they don't just go and end up at the same exact place. They took some astrologers, and they took 40 people who had lived. They've already lived. So they knew what they were going to end up doing. And they took their astrological chart. 20 of these were criminals and 20 of them were good peace-loving citizens, and they said, match them up. And when they did it, they did no better than you would do if you just randomly threw the cards down and got it by chance. Did you know that no two astrologers will interpret the charts the same way? In other words, you're going to this astrologer and you're reading, but if you go over here and do this one and this one and this one, you may get three different answers, the same chart. It seems like after 4,000 years, there would be some coherent system of understanding if in fact it was valid or a science. In other words, you may read one and he may say it's a great day to start a diet. The next one says it's a bad day to start a diet. The very opposite. So I guess you have a 50-50 chance there. Their description of what each of these houses represents is different from astrologer to astrologer. It is not only wrong, it is not only illogical and unscientific, it is absolutely occultic. You see, what it's saying is this. You can acquire some knowledge about the future which takes, if it's true, predicting the future, it takes supernatural, it takes God knowledge. If you just do this and this, or at least you can talk to him on his terms. Meaning that there is another way to determine your fate other than Jesus Christ. Lawrence Jerome, in his study entitled Astrology Disproved, says this, It is nothing more than a magical system for controlling others, end quote. Sociologist Edward Moody went farther, and he said the people who are involved in astrology are pre-Satanists. Pre-Satanist. He says, quote, those who eventually become Satanists usually have begun in astrology, end quote. And that is absolutely true. Astrology has been linked with the occult and spiritism since the beginning of time. Edgar Cayce, the famed medium who said he was a channel to spirits, was a huge proponent of astrology. Helena Blavatsky, she is the one who was a psychic fraud, a mystic, and all of these different things, and she was a huge proponent. Many of our famous astrologers, like Daniel Logan, Marcus Allen, Sybil Leek, they're all involved in witchcraft and the occult. The Manual for Occultism states this, and I quote, the astrological art is held to be the key to all occultic sciences, end quote. You see, it's not only deception, it is demonic. Not that it's doing anything except pulling you away from the light into the darkness. I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And God has spoken about this because it has been around for a long, long time. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, or I guess really verse 9. He says to the Jews when they're going to enter into the promised land, he says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes a son or daughter pass through the fire, and that was the worship of Moloch. Who uses divination, remember divination is anything that tries to predict the future. One who practices witchcraft, interprets omens, sorcerer, one who casts a spell, medium, talking to the spirits, a spiritist, one who calls up the dead, necromancy. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. Detestable to the Lord. It is not only the things are detestable, but he said the one who does them. Notice it doesn't say the one who buys into it 100%. Notice it doesn't say one who makes their living. He says the one who does it is detestable. Not only is the practice detestable, but that person is so involved with the occult that God says he becomes detestable. Look down in verse 18. God says, and I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, I will myself require it of him. Now watch this. But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Well, you may say in your heart, how shall we know the word which was spoken, which the Lord has not spoken? He answers us. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, Jean Dixon claims all hers come from God. If a thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Two things I want you to see. One is, God says, 100% accuracy. And I could go into a whole range of things of being able to predict with some accuracy the future. If it's a good counselor and they're a good psychologist, if they sit down and talk with you for an hour, they could predict some things that you're going to do in the future just based upon pure knowledge of the discipline. So he says with God, they have to be 100%. If they're not 100%, discard them. And then notice that last phrase he says. It's an important phrase. You shall not be afraid of him. You know what? We're afraid. We're afraid. My goodness, there's all this power out there. And did you know they're able to cast this spell on you? And did you know they get this thing on you? And your great, 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 great granddaddy did this sin. And if you don't do something about it, it's going to hang over you like a cloud. Baloney. Baloney. He said, don't fear him. Don't fear him who has power to throw the body and to kill the body, but fear him that is able to cast both body and soul. If you fear God, you have nobody else to fear. But Satan wants us to fear, and he wants us to believe there's power. I want you to look at Isaiah. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy, because you're going to come right back. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 12. Isaiah 47:12. He says, stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. He's condemning them for being involved in the occult. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. In other words, you've been involved in it. Maybe you're going to get some profit. Maybe you're going to scare some people. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, let them stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Boy, even if they could do it, even if they could do it, and they can't, if they could tell you you're going to get hit by a train tomorrow, guess what? They can't deliver you from it. He said, you've been turning to them. Go ahead and turn to them and see which one can save you from what's coming upon you. He said, behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by, nor fire to sit by. They can't even deliver themselves, beloved. They can't go out and predict something to get $1 million tomorrow. Why would we want to listen to them when they're trying to tell us about stumping our toe in the morning? It's just a ludicrous thing. Now look back at Deuteronomy chapter 4 again. Or Deuteronomy 4 and verse 19. And beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under all the heaven. God says he's given all of this to everybody. Why are you worshiping what everybody has? All of the pagans have the same rain. They have the same sun. They have the same moon. And he says, why do you look up and worship? And somebody in the church will always say, well, you know, I read those. I read my chart some, but I don't believe it. Yeah, and I guess your husband buys Playboy, but he just does it for the articles. It's ludicrous. They read it because to some degree they believe it. You see, what he's saying is this. If you'll just do the right thing, you can control your destiny. What he's saying is you don't need forgiveness, you need enlightenment. And isn't that what he told Eve? He said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And Eve saw the tree that it was to make one wise. He says, I'll make you wise. I'll enlighten you. Isn't it wise to know what's going to happen tomorrow? A year from now? 6 months from now? You see, if you dabble in it to that degree, you are sinning against God. And you are involved in something that is anathematized. And you can never walk in liberty and never walk in freedom and never walk in truth as long as you are cloaking yourself in darkness. One of Satan's master lies is to do everything he can to make us believe that we are not responsible for our actions, there's no consequence, that we have no accountability. And he's done that in a myriad of ways today. One of them is astrology. You're not really responsible. What's responsible is the way the planets have lined up, and that's what's caused you to do that. Evolution. You're a product of chance. You have nobody that you're accountable to, and you're on your way up, and so this was just a kind of a fluke. Freud, his whole idea was that you have to get into the subconscious and get you released from that, because it is not your conscious will that makes the choices. It is your subconscious that is controlling you. That is the premise behind hypnosis. That is that you can't quit smoking on your own, so you get hypnotized and we get back here in your subconscious and that'll let you go. And all of that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God, which created us free moral agents who are responsible for our choices. And we can make the choice. Much of genetics is moving from a predisposition to a predetermination, so that you are not responsible for your actions. You were predetermined, you were born that way, and so forth. Divination allows you to be, at least feel like you're divine, or you can talk to God on equal basis, because now you can tell the future. Andre Cole, the one I quoted, is a world-renowned illusionist. He was a skeptic. He knew all the magic tricks and so forth. And so he began to look in the Bible and he saw what it said that Jesus did. And so as a magician, he began to study the miracles and things that he did. And you know what happened? He knew what it took to pull off an illusion. And to pull off illusions like they do today, he says it takes trucks and tons of equipment. And he said to do one miracle what Jesus did, that's what it would take. And it was so evident that he didn't have it. And he came to realize that he was the only one doing authentic miracles by the power of God. And he got on his knees and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And since that time, he spent his time exposing the deception that Satan brings about. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one. He is God incarnate. And Satan wants to keep you deceived, thinking there's another way. But the Scripture says there's only one name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. Will you walk off from any deception? Have you messed with astrology? Have you thought in some way that you were getting something out of it? Maybe you were just reading that astrological chart, or you were watching this or that, and you need to right now before God confess it and get it out of your life. It is a serious thing. God says that is detestable to me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and would you just ponder your heart, Lord, have I allowed Satan to bring deception into my life, into my home? Maybe it's through astrology or palm reading or crystal balls or something that says you don't have to trust God today, but I'll show you what's coming tomorrow, and you've put your trust in that. Rather than what God said, and he said, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough troubles, today has enough troubles of its own. That he controls the future. Will you right now just confess it right between you and God? There shouldn't be one of us that walk out of here believing that there is 1 ounce of credibility to astrology. It is Satan's deceptive cloak to cause us to walk in a way that is detestable unto our Lord, who bought us with his own life. Will you confess it to him? Maybe he's deceived you in another way of believing that you could save yourself, that you could become God through new age or through merit of your own. But today God's Holy Spirit has touched your heart and says, I did everything for you because you couldn't do it on your own.